long hard days. They don't say God's changed my ways, changed my ways, those evil ways. So I set out across that way to strike them down, to make them pay, and change their ways, their evil ways. But I can't evil
way. Welcome back. Again, a balanced, measured response. It's easier said than done. Top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Monday, July 15, 2019. Again, I think, it's interesting what is kind of happening today. So I'm still going to say, to me, it's a spiritual issue. It comes back to that. And so, I think there's just so much. How do you boil it down? And what I mean is, we go from the founding of this union of several states, and these men who say it's all about virtue, morality, and religion, and not in a legalistic sense. It is incumbent upon each one of us to learn how to behave ourselves, which reminds me of Exodus 20. So we're encouraging. Thomas Jefferson says, "Enlighten the people generally, and tyranny and oppression of body and mind will vanish like evil spirits at the dawn of day." So we're all supposed to become grown-ups. Now Google shows up, Facebook shows up, and we are descending, devolving into bickering and vitriol. But don't worry, there's a nanny who will sort it out. And we should all tattle on each other instead of sorting out our own problems, figuring out how to work through things. What was the trending article I just saw the other day on that was interesting? It was a Harvard Business Review story, I think. Where is that? I don't want to get sidetracked. I want to get back to the phones, but let me see if I can find that real fast. How to have difficult conversations when you don't like conflict. That's one of them. Where's another one? That's one of them. Harvard Business Review, how to have difficult conversations when you don't like conflict. An executive leadership coach shares some tips on how to approach potential conflicts. Tips are, begin from a place of curiosity and respect and stop worrying about being liked. This is exactly what Stephen Covey talked about. The shift from the character ethic to the personality ethic, tips, tricks, and techniques to basically manipulate people and to get your way. Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. What if we were just all concentrating on becoming adults and being good people? And getting back to Noah Webster's definition of religion. So, you listen to some of these. Begin from a place of curiosity and respect to stop worrying about being liked. Focus on what you're hearing, not what you're saying. Be direct. Don't put it off. Expect a positive outcome. How about what Jesus said? You have the Beatitudes, and then Jesus says, "But I say to you who hear, I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you." Ah, there's that again. Matthew 7:12, Luke 6:31. Is that not good advice on how to have difficult conversations when you don't like conflict? And so what's the point, that everyone should get away with stuff? No. If you believe in the God of the Bible, the laws of nature and nature's God, well then, like he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And if you're going to take that stuff into your own hands, first of all, you bring his wrath upon yourself, and you also stunt the, the will of God, essentially, but his judgment, his time, and his way. And that's difficult. I mean, it's getting really difficult. That sort of gets right to the heart of what I'm talking about. It's so frustrating, and the ironic paradox today, I believe, is that we all have legitimate reason to be upset with one another. We see the crazy stuff going on. I heard a story about a restaurant. It's supposed to be a nice restaurant in this small town I was talking about earlier, where somebody said, this place now is like it's the town I was born in. I'll just say that. It's Libby, Montana. And someone was saying it's like the white reservation now. And that's a whole different conversation. But there's a restaurant in that town. And I heard a story about a couple that I know that had dinner at this restaurant. And they were served something simple, a simple dish. I don't want to give too much away because, whatever. Simple dish, something you can't mess up. And it was messed up. And their wait person came to the table, and the husband gently and patiently said, I think it's undercooked. And the wait person literally said, yeah, and? That's becoming America these days. There's another place that I know of that just put all kinds of money and resources into remodeling an area of the restaurant, and it's never staffed. And it's not that they can't do it, and it's never clean, always filthy, not staffed. Why would you do that? If you want people to go there, make it nice, staff it, and then they will come. But they're not going to show up if it's filthy and there's no one there to wait on them anyway. This is the experience we're having in America. The irony is we are largely a service-based economy now in America, and service sucks everywhere you go. But the ironic paradox is that we are all offenders. And so we all have a reason to be upset, but we're also all the offenders. And so this bickering amongst ourselves is pointless. All we're doing is excusing ourselves and becoming an accessory after the fact, if you will. And so I am saying that a balanced and measured response from mature adults is probably, to me, that's holding the line. If there's still a line, if it's not entirely eviscerated and destroyed. So, getting back to what I was talking about, Hebrews 4, therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. Oh, disobedience. Don't follow the example of disobedience. Yeah. For the word of God, here we go. Back to this. Where do you get that kind of what Noah Webster talk about with the word religion? Consists in the performance of the duties we owe directly to God from a principle of obedience to his will. Hence, we often speak of religion and virtue as different branches of one system, or the duties of the first and second tables of the law. And it's written on all of our hearts. According to the Bible. So, you don't have to look very far for it. And a lot of times we try to get away from it. But Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. I'm pretty sure CRISPR can't even do that. And both joints and marrow. And able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Again, I'm pretty sure CRISPR can't do that. Able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So you have that. You have Luke chapter 6. I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him, this is to me, as much or more than anyone. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also, and whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. And so the subject of usury, we've talked about that. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And then this, if you lend to those for whom you expect to, from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. You'll be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. I mean, this gets right to the heart of, well, what John was talking about, what Renee was talking about. And if we're all operating on this basis, what a wonderful world it would be. If we're not all bickering and vicious and throwing stuff in each other's faces and talking about they and each one of us takes personal responsibility and accountability for ourselves, certainly in this context. I mean, how can you find fault with a society that is just predominantly people of this kind-hearted, gentle, gracious, merciful demeanor? Again, the fruit of the Spirit, a people marked by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Seems like a good idea. So the balance and measure response, I admit, man, I'm not saying it's easy. But, you know, you get a sense of the kind of maturity that the founders are advocating. And these days, everywhere you look, we're encouraged to have some kind of crutch. More crutches. You know what? You're leaning over a little bit this way. I got another crutch. You got all these crutches around you. Why not take the crutches off and actually live? Take the training wheels off. That's kind of how I think of it. Or it's like bumper bowling. You're not really bowling. You're not really riding with the training wheels on. That's why everyone wants to take them off. So these kinds of, you know, surreptitious laws, surreptitious justification. I was asked about the styrofoam in the roads these days. You know, there's, again, Alan Watt, you know, the good answer and the real answer is kind of what I think of when John in Louisiana is talking about organized religion, you know, stealing people's ability to in Louisiana to do sports betting. Yeah, I don't, if we dug into it, I don't think it's, we can take it at face value. But my response, my thought is someone's benefiting somewhere and by taking advantage of people. It's not just that a community of people thought this is the best way to make life better. Telling people they can't do certain things. If we're all adults, then we handle that business, each one ourselves. And so passing that kind of legislation doesn't make things better. like Paul said in Romans 7, basically it's antagonistic to the flesh. It makes things worse. So we all just need to behave ourselves. That's what we were given, as I understand it. They should sort of found it on that. And so, again, just to kind of conclude this thought, you go back, how far back do you go? You have Blackstone, who is the second most quoted source of these guys who established this government. And he says the laws of nature and nature's God are immutable. This is the foundation. Here is our foundation, America. And so these guys that are drawing up this government base it largely in these ideas. You know, like Blackstone said, these laws laid down by God are the eternal, immutable laws of good and evil. Is there such a thing? Is there good and evil? These laws laid down by God are the eternal, immutable laws of good and evil. This law of nature, dictated by God himself, is of course superior in obligation to any other. It is binding over all the globe, in all countries, and at all times. No human laws are of any validity if contrary to this. Then along comes Charles Darwin and his cousin, Francis Galton, writes him a letter and says, this is brilliant. Origin of Species. What's awesome about this is now we can free ourselves from the theological discussion that life is priceless. All the life of mankind is priceless. And, you know, we can tell certain people, well, you're biologically inferior, therefore you must die. In death cult fashion. But also, now we can separate society from the eternal, immutable laws of good and evil. These laws laid down by God are the eternal, immutable laws of good and evil. And we can just tell them whatever we want. You hear Adam Weishaupt sort of chuckling in the background, oh, foolish man, what can you not be made to believe? If you can be separated from that, then guess what? You know, like Bruce Willis said, if you take one away, you can take them all away. Where is the line? And who will hold the line? Who will stand fast? And measured and balanced response. So, you know, I'm still kind of mulling over what William and Montana said about a reevaluation of strategy and tactics. Back to the phones. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Chris. I want to try to address John's question. What was the single greatest threat to freedom? Or
individual liberty and freedom as a whole was what he said.
Okay, to me, it's one word, Chris. Bondage. Okay? You're going to serve someone or something, so it's bondage. And the amazing thing about it is that Christ, from what I've read in the book, in the Bible, Christ never told anyone not to do anything. He came to set people free. The only time that he really got upset was when they were in his father's house exchanging money for profit. I don't think he would have had a problem if it was exchanging dinars or whatever the currency of the day was for shekels and not making a profit on the exchange. I think that was the problem, that they turned it into a house, you know, into a bank, literally into a bank. He didn't say to the Gadarean maniac, how dare you? I hear the music.
Yeah. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. We're on the phones. John in Tennessee. Go ahead.
All right. First of all, to kind of reiterate, okay, Christ never told anyone not to do anything. He came to set people free from what they were either forced to do by another man or a king or what have you, or were under bondage to do because of the desire of the flesh. You know, and it boils back to this. John, if gambling is illegal wherever you live, that shouldn't stop you if you want to do it, because gambling has gone on thousands of years. Even before the internet, they had gambling. You know, in Detroit, when I was a younger man, they run numbers. I've been in buildings where to pick up money for a delivery and gone in a room, there's $1 million sitting on a table, and I know they're running numbers. They're gambling. There's casinos. There's barbecue joints. In Arizona, up in the mountains, you go through the cooler, and there's a nightclub in the middle of nowhere on a mountain in Arizona. I could take you to it. If it's still there, it's been a long time. But he came to set us free. So when you're talking about getting rid of these religions, Chris, I heard your description of what religion was. According to Webster, religion to me is whatever philosophy, whatever system you use to control how you live your life is your religion. Mm-hmm. And John, mm-hmm. if you're wanting to, frequent prostitution, or you want to gamble, or you want to have a beer, or you want to do whatever you do, and that's the way you're living your life, then that lifestyle is your religion. Atheism is a religion. They don't even believe that God exists, or in place of Christ, they've put their desire to become God. They put technocracy, they put transhuman and posthumanism as their way that they're going to live their life. That's their religion. Scientism is a religion. Science fiction, different universes is a religion of, I don't know what you would call it, life outside of this earth. I hope, again, I'm making sense. I see this clear. John, mm-hmm. not anyone should be able to stop you from doing whatever you want to do.
Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny when you think about, a man like you, I know you can identify with what I'm trying to explain, but we've come from this place of rugged individualism where, it's my understanding that people used to, they would be offended, deeply offended, if you tried to, impose your will. A man would be deeply offended, to say the least, if you tried to impose your will on him, and people prided themselves on rugged individualist self-reliance, versus now it's not even a thought, really. People, it doesn't even occur to people that's I would call it evil, trying to impose your will on someone.
Well, absolutely. And although, Chris, I don't have a desire to do anything that John has a desire to do. Hey, John, if you're free, if you're literally free, if you believe that this Constitution, which I've questioned for many years, gives you the ability to your life, your liberty, your pursuit of happiness, whatever it is, the only reason that you're feeling like they're stopping you from doing it is that mentally, emotionally, and physically, you're not free. And the fact of the matter is, Chris, anyone that doesn't have Jesus Christ in their life and realize that he is who he said he is, that he came to do what he said he would do, and he would do it just for the asking, you cannot be free outside of Jesus Christ. You might think you are, but you're still going to succumb to certain laws, like a law of life. At some point, you're going to cease breathing. You will die. You can't beat that. There's a doctor that comes on RBN every week on another program that talks about, you realize that you're recreated every year or whatever it is. Your body recreates itself, and we can control what's going to happen to us. I hear the music again.
Yeah. It's, two passages, slave to Christ or slave to sin, and he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I think is the operative concept. Stick around, folks. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back. On the phones. Go ahead, John.
Okay. It kind of refreshed. As far as gambling, John. Now, gambling's mentioned in the Bible. They cast lots for Jesus Christ's clothes. You know, and it was foretold by him in Isaiah that they were going to do it. I think it was Isaiah 53. I could be wrong. But it was... they've been gambling since the time of Christ, since before Christ they were gambling. And granted, John, you're free to do whatever you want to do, but at some point there's a price to be paid, and I'm not standing in judgment at all because I've been there. I was in Las Vegas in the 70s with $100, turned it into $10,000 at a blackjack table. Then there's this little thing called alcohol that gets in the way of your mind, and I lost every bit of it back, plus my paycheck, and I got hungry for a couple weeks. Everyone that I knew that was my friend didn't have any money to give me to buy me any food, so I got hungry for a couple weeks. I know what the outcome of gambling and alcohol and all the rest is, and I'm not judging you. I'm saying for me, it never worked. At some point, you're going to pay the price. And when it all boils down to it, you know, you talk about, you know, what's the single greatest threat? And I said it's bondage. There's only one individual, one entity that wants to keep you in bondage, and that's the one that is in opposition to Jesus Christ and the God of heaven. He is the one that wants to kill and destroy and see to it that you never come to the knowledge of the truth. And the other one, on the other hand, it says, he doesn't say don't do any of this. He doesn't say don't do it, because if God wrote the laws in the Old Testament knowing that we couldn't fulfill them, how in the world do we expect man's laws to be fulfilled by sinful man? It can't be done. You pass a law, murder's illegal. Doesn't stop anyone from murder. Drug abuse or drug sales outside of a licensed pharmaceutical sorcery store on the corner is illegal, but it doesn't stop it. Prostitution is illegal, but the guys are selling their sisters every day in Detroit. Doesn't stop it. Pass a law to enforce a law that's already enacted. Doesn't stop it. So the law was there to show us we can't keep it. And Christ came as a remedy to our ability, our inability to keep the law. He said, hey, I'm here. I came to set you free. And John, I know I got hungry, and there's times when I didn't have money and I needed money. There's times when I needed something to eat and I didn't have anything to eat. I needed something, gas or something to drink that wasn't alcohol, and I couldn't do it. So I know there's a lot of your hard work that is literally going down the drain, either in the bathroom or you're vomiting it up or whatever it is that you're doing. There's a lot. There's a bill to be paid, man. And a guy came. God came in the flesh to say, John, I don't want you to have to do that. I'm not telling you not to do that, John. That's what, you know, Jesus never said don't do it. He just said, I'm here, set you free. When he went to the Gadarene maniac, he didn't say, how in the world did this happen? He just said, Legion, get out. And he brought clothes with him. The man was running around naked, and he had clothing somehow when they found him. The man had clothes, so he cared for that maniac. And we say, this can't be real. This, these three religions, and I'll agree, Judeo-Christian religion, what an oxymoron. You're going to claim the religion of those that rejected the Savior and intermingle it with Christianity and say, that's the way it is. It's not a Jewish religion. It's not a Middle Eastern religion. It's not a religion. It's a worldwide relationship with the Creator of the earth. And it's free. There's no cost. Nobody pays a penny. And as a result, you get God's mercy and God's grace for free. And he takes all the vileness and everything that you can imagine that you would love to live without. We've all got things that we would love to live without. And he wipes it off the board. And he says, forgiven. And then when you go back, when you fail, and we all do, and if you've asked for forgiveness, and you say, God, it's me again. It's John. I did it again. He literally doesn't remember it anymore. So in effect, he's saying, you did what? Well, I did it again. You did what again, John? I don't remember. He doesn't remember. Doesn't give us a license to continue to do what we know we shouldn't be doing anyway.
Romans 6.
And if you, it's not, it doesn't mean that it's okay. It means that, right, the grace of God continues to keep us in right relationship with him if we keep short accounts. When we fail, we go to him, we say, Lord, I'm really trying. I'm really trying. I need your help. Please forgive me. He wipes it off the board again, and it's a clean, not a black slate. It's a clean white slate. And he washes it white with his own blood. Think about that. I don't mean to preach, Chris, but this is something that is so real. If people can get it in their heart, the Bible says, be changed by the renewing of your mind. And we see people walking down the street, we say they're crazy. Someone's hearing me talk right now and they say he's crazy. I'm telling you, what I'm explaining to you, I've experienced, because I came to a point where I didn't want to live anymore. I actually prayed, God, if you can't give me a new life, kill me and send me to hell because I know I deserve it. He heard me. And I went to bed 11 o'clock at night, high on drugs, drunk with alcohol, woke up 7 o'clock in the morning, never picked up another drug, never took another drink, got a new mind. The world smelled and looked differently, and my heart was changed. My mind was renewed. If he did it for me, and he's done it for so many others, he can do it for anybody. He's just waiting with his hands out, literally, hands out. Anyway, thank you, Chris, for letting me. I couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
Right on. Well,
take care.
I do have one question, if you have a moment.
All right.
I don't necessarily understand the context of when you're saying that Jesus didn't say do this or don't do that. I mean, I think of like the Beatitudes, for example. That sounds kind of like do's and don'ts.
He didn't tell you that you had to do anything to experience his grace. Mm-hmm. No, he didn't. It's free. Not that he passed laws. The law was there, and it was to show us that we couldn't keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm saying it in a way that can be misinterpreted. I don't mean it to be that way. It's just that I tried for years to do it, to live it, and finally came to the point where I knew I couldn't do it. I couldn't live it. I had to count on him. That's the only way to do it.
Yeah, salvation by
through his grace.
Through faith, yeah, and the fruit.
You can't work it out. You can't work it out.
Yeah. Okay.
If any man could work it out, Christ wouldn't have to go to the cross. Yeah. He would be the biggest raving lunatic in his very own creation. If there was any other way, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. There was one way, and even now, there's one way. The world says, hey, there's many ways. I've heard people saying, well, you know, what happened to man? And I tell them, man died in the garden. And they disobeyed God and partook of that fruit, which I don't believe was a fruit. But when they committed the sin in the garden, man died instantly and became a human. You're going to have one or the other master. You can't serve God and mammon. You're going to serve one or the other. You're going to love one and hate the other. And if you want to be free, get weak. You want to be strong. And again, John Paul, the guy that you don't, he said, God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. So if you want to be a strong man, become a weak man.
Well,
you want to be a strong woman, become a weak woman and trust on Christ.
Yeah, something that I'm kind of wrestling with, you know, with my father's recent passing. He was, I knew him as a child to be a just fearsome guy, you know, basically wired to play college football bigger than he was physically equipped to play. And taking that persona that they created basically in this program and, I feel like some of that got transferred on me, certainly as a child in my upbringing in those early years. But then to see that contrasted with him in later life saying, I mean, just having a very gracious, kind, merciful ease about himself, and not powerless by any means, but just gracious and kind. And something that I'm still learning, that to me, in a kind of a parallel context to what you're saying, that to me is a walking out of that kind of strength and power, and to have the composure to be as gracious and kind and merciful as I watched him be is something that I still marvel at, so...
It's not that way with everyone, Chris. I've got a 91-year-old father-in-law who, you know, is becoming short and ill, and I dread seeing it because the race is coming. They're getting ready to cross the line. The race is coming to an end, And I want to be like Paul, John. I want to finish the course, and I want to honor God when I do it. And if I'm trying to honor myself, then God doesn't get any glory from me. I don't want to honor me at all. I don't like the recognition, because I am who and what I am because of Jesus Christ. And that's where all the honor and glory should be. I know it's hard, and without the understanding, I don't know where you're at, you know, personally, John, but I know a lot of what I say to a lot of people that hear me is foolishness. But some of the most true things are a result of personal experience, and you know them to be true. And I know what I'm telling you is true. What I'm telling anyone that's hearing me, it's absolutely true. Not because I said it, but because I've experienced it. God said it. He's God, and he can't lie. It's got to be true. All right. Thank you again, Chris.
You bet. Thank you, John.
You too. Bye-bye.
I appreciate it, as always. I'm going to say one thing real fast, and then we'll go back to the phones, just in case, you know, in the interest of time. The kind of overarching theme of what I am talking about, I'll just be plain and simple. You know, what can we do? I mean, I understand. I think, like I said earlier, I kind of, I think I understand the context of John in Louisiana's question and his, as he put it, his opinion that organized religion. I mean, so in Galatians chapter 2, Judaizers' legalistic sort of sense, I agree, but that's not the kind of religion that I think guys like Patrick Henry were talking about, for example. That's that stuff to bring people back into the bondage that John in Tennessee is talking about. So basically, in that sense, to me, it's the same. That's the same conversation. But by contrast, and again, my mind goes back to places like Exodus chapter 20, Hebrews chapter 4, all through the book of Romans, and our own personal responsibility. So, in contravention to the bifurcation fallacy that I mentioned, being learned helplessness on one end of the spectrum and radical, to me, I think of Wahhabi, not to, you know, implicate anyone. It's just that over kind of that predominating radical suicide bomber, self-targeting sort of mindset that we are all this reactionary response. It's difficult sometimes not to feel provoked. I'm the first one to say, man, every day, you know, if I was in that restaurant and I said, I was the friend that I was talking about, you know, he and his wife in the restaurant, and his wife says, I think this is, it's undercooked. It's not cooked right, and it's difficult to mess up. And he says, excuse me, I think this is undercooked. And you hear, yeah, and, I mean, people, we take so many things for granted. We don't realize that, when did that become okay, that you could think that we should be thankful that you're there, when actually you should be thankful that the customer is there always, and take some pride in what you do. Be glad, be thankful that you're fortunate you have a job. But you know, here we are again. Andrew Yang says, well, I'll get $1,000 a month and that'll make everything fine. No, it won't. It will lend itself to the same kind of mindset. The entitlement mentality that says, well, fine, you don't want me to work here and lick windows, then, you know, I'll just go on welfare anyway. And so it's difficult in any community. You know, had a conversation with a couple, you know, and a kid went to college, came back and said, you know what, I'll just live with you guys. And they said, no, you won't. His dad said, you might live in a refrigerator box, but you know what, you're not living here. Figure it out. What if we all just had to figure it out? And so in that sense, in contravention to the bifurcation fallacy of learned helplessness and radical, you know, self-targeting, basically, what if we all read the Bible for a year? Not went to some, what some guy has to say about something, but just read it, starting perhaps in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, And maybe Romans from there, or wherever the secret decoder ring leads, so to speak. And in addition to that, took a course at Front Sight, Gun Sight, Terran Tactical, you know, but Front Sight is what we're hearing. So what if we started there? And even in the context of Fred's point, considering what he said and putting that together with the aforementioned, in 1 Corinthians 6:12, it wasn't Romans, but you know, all things are lawful. Not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. You put that together with Romans 14, each man must be fully convinced in his own mind. What would happen? In other words, it's a personal decision. Like Fred said, I'm not sure that is my thing now. I'm not sure I have that Christian liberty is how I would interpret it. But what would happen if we had a society that was categorized by those kinds of people?
It happens.
Just a question. We'll be right back.
In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with
welcome back.
Cup, but he's driving and striving and hugging the turns.
It's getting late and we got a couple of calls. Let's just go back to the phones real quick. John in California. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, hello there, Chris. I'll keep this real short.
I just want to comment on John from Tennessee's discourse, and he made a lot of good points, but he made that one fatal flaw. He kept putting two words together that a lot of people put together that really have no meaning when you consider what they mean individually, and that is Judeo-Christian. There's no relationship. He did that several times, and
I think that was the point that he was making. I think he was actually making that distinction too.
Oh, he was okay. I didn't hear his whole thing, but he okay. I take it back. If that's the case, then I'm mistaken. I got into his conversation in the middle of it, so that I just wanted to make that point. That's all. Just so everyone's clear.
Right on. Absolutely. Okay. Thanks, John.
Well, thank you very much, Chris.
You bet. Yeah, and again, I think, there's a bigger discussion there. Galatians 2, what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12, what Peter said in 2 Peter 2:19, this issue of slavery and bondage. Anyway, back to the phones, Gino in Connecticut, in the interest of time. Hey, Gino, thanks for calling.
Chris, welcome. Hey, Chris, I'll keep it short. So I wanted to take a crack at John's question, what's the greatest danger to freedom and liberty? It's called counterfeit liberty or counterfeit freedom. So I'm going to give you two verses. You ready?
Yeah.
Here are the two verses. 1 Peter 2:16 and 2 Peter 2:19.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Which is what I just mentioned, actually. The second one is what I just mentioned, so that's funny.
And John is exactly right that the end, the other John, is right that the end result is bondage. Listen, government only has, and this is what I might agree with Renee, the government has only one objective, and that's to put you in bondage and servitude to them and their cause and their needs. Whether it be war, whether it be straw men, whatever it may be, but only in Christ.
Yeah.
When you understand him in the fullness of Christ, will you have true freedom and true liberty, freedom from death even.
Yeah.
I'll just stop there for the sake of time.
Hey, I wholeheartedly agree. And great way to kind of conclude today's broadcast. I mentioned 2 Peter 2:19. I'd throw Galatians 2 in there again. I think in that context it fits, and I agree. Counterfeit liberty, counterfeit freedom, that's what we have, and it's everywhere. And again, you're absolutely right. 2 Peter 2:19, I think, is a great way to sort of punctuate that. Interesting broadcast. Thanks, Gino, for your call. Thanks, everybody. Very interesting discussion, but I really believe we all have a personal responsibility, and I certainly will admit that I have, I think, been derelict in my own duty. So I'm working on that, and I will report back on that, and we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll do my own, experiment with myself and report back on that. We'll see. Anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.